Good evening. Glad to see everybody's got out this evening. My brothers, I would like to welcome you this evening in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, I don't know if you guys caught it, but when Brother Wilson first started his invocation this morning, he said, I'm going to invite our Father to come and join us. And this evening, I think that's good. I think I want to invite our Father to come join us. And his son, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. And on a personal note, I want to thank those that have offered their prayers for my injury. And it's not as bad as it could be. So I feel very blessed that the Lord took care of me that. Because when that cart came over my foot, it could have been a whole lot more than damage done than it was. And I'll be okay. But as I... It was Friday evening. I think I was sitting there contemplating on whether I should call someone to fulfill my obligation this evening. And my daughter was there. And it's one of those times, I think, when the child becomes the parent. And she looked at me and she says, "You're not hurt that bad." She says, "If Marshall can get up those stairs, you can get up there. You go do your job." I'm Megan's fault tonight. She held my nose to the stone this evening. I'd like to share with you tonight this evening for our opening scripture out of the Doctrine and Covenants, section 28. Listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, the great I Am, whose arm of mercy hath atoned for your sins, who will gather his people even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, even as many as will hearken unto my voice, and humble themselves before me, and call upon me in mighty prayer. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, that at this time your sins are forgiven you. Therefore, ye receive these things, but remember to sin no more, lest peril shall come upon you. Verily I say unto you that ye are chosen out of the world to declare my gospel with the sound of rejoicing and with the voice of a trump. Lift up your hearts and be glad, for I am in your midst, and I am your advocate with the Father, and it is his good will to give you the kingdom. We'll continue with the outline of the bulletin, and we'll start with hymn number 66.
Father in heaven, we are so indeed thankful that we have a place to come to this evening where we can hear the word, we can share the word with each other, we can renew our friendships with each other to share those testimonies of our lives, and that in the spirit that we come together here, Father, that it is a spirit of one. And we pray for our brother Phil this evening, that all those things you would have him say to you that come from his heart, that all those things might be unfolded to you. And we pray, Father, that all those who have come here this evening, they have come here because it is a desire of their heart to be here. And we pray, Father, that you'll bless them and bless their families. And all those, Father, within the church that are struggling at this time, we pray for them. And we pray for those who have special needs. We thank you for the opportunity again, Father, to be in this place, this house of prayer, this house of testimony, this house of worship. Until that perfect day, Father, that the hymn speaks about, we pray, Father, we'll be worthy always to be called your followers. Amen.
I have to admit, the scriptures picked by the presiders always have some interest in. Sometimes I'm interested to see how they play out with the sermon that the speaker gives. Tonight I also have to admit that I'm truly awed by what you've given for the selected scripture, with how well it goes with what I've decided to bring. For my scripture to open with, I've got Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put forth his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I read that a few weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago now, when we were doing our daily scripture reading. And it really struck me, and I thought, it seems funny. When I think something seems funny, it usually means that I'm going to ponder it for a while and try to figure it out. Sometimes I think about something for a while and I never can figure it out and I just forget about it. This was one of those things that I made note of on paper. Stacy will tell you I've got papers all over the house. Usually they're confined next to my bed and sometimes I find them, sometimes I don't. This is one that kept coming back. What exactly does it mean? That's what I kept thinking. What does it mean? Put your hand to the plow and look back. All of the Lord's parables and everything he said have meaning, of course. So I thought, well, maybe if I was a farmer and I plowed ground, I was working the plow and I looked back, that'd make me a not good plowsman, if that's what they're called. But that didn't really make sense to me because surely you'd want to see what was going on behind you as much as you would ahead of you. So I don't know. So it stuck with me for a while. So we go to the other side. Have you started the Lord's work? I have a house, Stacy and I do. We've got a gas furnace in it. And through a series of strange events, I'll just leave it at that. It's very interesting. The furnace got red tagged by MGE. MGE came out and put a red tag on it and said, you're not allowed to run this furnace anymore. So, you know, that's somewhat concerning to me, being it was, still cold outside or very much cooler. So I go to the house and I start looking at the furnace and, yep, it's got a red tag on it. So I go home and call up MGE and they're like, yeah, we red tagged that. I'm like, yeah, I know. Why? And they said, well, we have a note here from the technician who looked at it. He didn't service it. He looked at it and said it was insufficient makeup error and there's all kinds of stuff that go on with that. But the real reason was is that they were concerned the burners had cracks in them. So I had to clean it and take it apart and make sure there's no cracks in it. And I had to readjust some of the ductwork that left it because they didn't like that either. It's been installed since 1970, but they didn't like it, so it had to be fixed. And, you know, my first line of attack when I need to work on something is I usually like to have a manual. I like to read the technical specifications, the technical know-how, what I need to do. Because if I don't understand it, I can go back and I can read it again until I understand it. Well, the furnace was put in 1970, so I don't have a manual for this furnace. And you can't find one online. So I went to my second line of attack. I go to YouTube. YouTube's got some pretty good stuff on it. It's got some not so good stuff on it. But usually if you can find what you're looking for, it's usually pretty good because it's somebody doing exactly what you need to do. So I went there. This particular time, I was using my wife's phone because we shut off our internet in the house, so the phones are what we get our internet service through now. And I don't have an ad blocker that works on the phone all the time. If you guys don't know what an ad blocker is, they're great because they take out all the ads. Well, YouTube's got ads, and so I found a video that I wanted to watch. I really thought it was going to tell me everything I needed to know or show me, and I click on it, and the first thing pops up is a movie trailer, a movie preview. Now, most of the time, if I watch a movie trailer, which isn't too often, maybe once or twice a year, I already know what they're rated. And I already have an idea what they're going to be about. This one caught me off guard, and I thought, oh, let's watch it. I'm tired. I should have muted it. I should have, turned the phone away and not watched it. But I didn't do that. And I'm not going to tell you the name because I don't want you guys to go watch that trailer. But as I watched it, I started laughing. And I thought that thing was hysterical. And after I got done watching it, I thought, that really wasn't funny. And I realized, or at least I kind of thought I realized, because this scripture, looking back from the plow, kind of came to mind. It just kind of like just kind of popped in my head right then, and I thought, huh, I wonder if I was just looking back because, you know, what this movie is about and the things that I thought were funny really don't go along with what Scripture thinks is funny, right? And so I was a little disappointed in myself that I had watched it, and I was even a little more disappointed in myself that I thought it was funny when really it wasn't anything that I should have found amusing. When I watched the video on how to service a furnace, it was what I wanted. So I did get the furnace fixed. But, you know, when we think about looking back from the Lord's work, I think that I was just at fault there. And I think at that moment in time, I think I was unfit for the Lord's service. I think I was unfit for the kingdom because I wasn't in the frame of mind that I should have been. We've got examples of people looking back in Scripture. Genesis chapter 19, verse 33. But it came to pass when Lot fled, and his wife looked back from behind him and became a pillar of salt. Surely this was a great loss to Lot, who was his spouse. I know what a loss it would be if had I lost my spouse. Especially if she turned into a pillar of salt, that would be bad. But you know, the angels came to Sodom from the prayers of Abraham, trying to save the city. Surely, Lord, there are 10 good people in that city. And the angels went to Lot's house, and they warned him. They said, you got to get out of here. In fact, just a couple of verses before, it tells how the angels took Lot's hand, took his daughter's hands, and took his wife's hands and pulled them out to get them started. Said, this city has to be destroyed. You have to leave now. They were helping them leave. The angels, who I think must have been very little doubt, were angels. Yet Lot's wife looked back. And she was told not to. So was it an act of true disobedience by Lot's wife, or was it an act of looking back to look upon things that she used to have that she could no longer partake of, things that she loved? You know, if I at my home go out on the back patio and have breakfast every morning, I enjoy looking at the backyard. I enjoy seeing our animals that we have in the back pastures. And I can tell you that if the Lord told me, Phil, you need to leave this home and you can't come back, the little things that I took delight in, the little things that I really, really enjoyed, I don't know that I could go and not hold a place in my heart and say, I enjoyed those things. Not necessarily if there were evil things that I would look back on the worldly things and say, hey, look at those worldly things. So we don't truly know why Lot's wife looked back, but we know she was disobedient and she did look back. Perhaps it was the part of the things that were not acceptable to the Lord. I don't know. Here's another one, another example. Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. I like this one. We recently went down to Branson to the Sight and Sound and watched the show that they're putting on now. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Okay, so there's no looking back at this point, right? And you're not maybe even sure who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Aaron. And I read the scripture to make a case to you that Aaron surely knew, had a knowledge of God. How often is it that any of us pick up a stick and throw it down and it becomes a serpent? Has anybody ever had that happen? I don't see any hands. I don't know if you'd raise your hands even if it had, but I know I haven't. I'm not saying it can't happen because we have written record it did. But my point is that Aaron surely knew of the power of God. He had knowledge of God. And unless I'm mistaken, Aaron was a high priest. I don't know if he was ordained high priest at that point. I have suspicion he was, but I don't know for sure. But now let's go to chapter 32 in Exodus. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 here. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not where what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. So Aaron, who in my mind unmistakably had knowledge of God, the God, our only God, decided he was going to help the people out, makes them a golden calf, and he declares it the Lord, and they sacrifice to it. That seems pretty bad. You know, was Aaron unfit for the Lord's work at that point? I think unmistakably he was unfit. I think there's no question in anybody's mind that Aaron, at that point, through error and judgment, through whatever, had looked back from the plow. I think it's easy to say, for all of us, that it's easy to look back from the plow, from the work that the Lord has set us about, whether it be a member or whether it be priesthood. We all have our responsibilities. And, you know, I just... Lot's wife is one thing, but here you have a high priest, Aaron, right? That's crazy. So, if it's really that easy to look back from the plow, Aaron had to know. I knew when I saw that trailer, or at least I knew right afterwards. Lot's wife, I don't know if she had a chance to know before she turned into a pillar of salt. But why is this so important to not turn back, to not look away from the plow, from the Lord's work? I've got three very good reasons, and they're all directly out of Scripture. The first one is John 15, verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is Christ telling us how important it is that we stay at work. Our works will be enabled, will be encouraged by God. Reason number two comes out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. When we look away from the plow, we are not looking forward or looking at God's work. We are looking back at mammon behind us. We can't serve two masters. Either you're going to hold to the world or you're going to hold to God. Which one's it going to be? And the third one I've got is Luke chapter 12, verses 18 through 23. This is talking about Christ. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Christ wasn't the farmer. Christ is the one telling the parable. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So shall it be with him who layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Truly, none of us know how much time we have left. We know that God is forgiving. We know that if we do look back, that we can be forgiven, that we can be back on the track. But why should any of it, our time, be spent looking back from the plow?
Thank you, Phil, for your words. Our closing hymn will be hymn either 581 or 583. Let us shake the coals off. Let us shake off the coals.
Our Father and our God, Lord, it is with deep admiration that we bow our heads before Thee And Lord, we are so grateful to have once again drawn apart and come here to this place, this holy place, to worship you, to hear the preached word. And Lord, as our brother has admonished us and spoken good counsel this night, Lord, that we should not look back as these testimonies that have been given to us in the scriptures. And Lord, forgive each one of us, for we have indeed looked back. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon this congregation, that as we go forward from this place, that we would remember these words, Lord, that we would remember not to look back, not to look back at our past, not to look back at the world behind us, but to focus on what is ahead and that great kingdom which will come shortly. May we actively be engaged in a good work. And Lord, may we be found faithful and not slumbering. Lord, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity which we've had, and for your Spirit that has met us here. And we pray this blessing now, Lord, upon this parting congregation. And we do so in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.